Welcome to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. Today we are joined by special guest Sean Anderson, who is the co-founder and CEO at Hoxo. After working in the recruitment industry, Sean decided to launch a marketing agency called Hoxo Media in 2017. Hoxo is a passionate specialist branding agency exclusively focused on the recruitment market. With their tried and tested methodology, Hoxo offers coaching to maximise the LinkedIn presence for recruiters and recruitment businesses. Today, Hoxo has a branding agency along with the coaching service and has since worked with 5,000 recruiters and 350 businesses supporting their personal brand on LinkedIn. Sean joins the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast to discuss how to create personal brand to help drive business success. We hope you enjoy. Welcome. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, how was the journey?
Long. Moving up to the north of England again after being in London for 8 years, you realise it's pretty far away. But yeah.
So where are you from originally? Tell us about it.
Manchester, but I moved back there in the pandemic when we went remote, and now I live in Sheffield.
Which okay. Is,
2 hours, but when you're doing all the commuting out of the side, yeah, it's about a 3 hour journey.
Yeah, nice.
So it better be worth it.
Yeah. Hopefully. This is the first podcast for me of RE, so looking forward to it. Tell us a bit about the background for those that are listening. Tell us a bit about your journey, how you got here.
Who am I?
Yeah.
So I'm Sean Anderson, the founder of Hoxo.
Yeah.
We're a branding agency specifically dedicated to the recruitment market.
Yeah.
So I was in recruitment for 7 years and I launched the business almost seven years ago. Long story that I won't go into, but I literally had never worked a day in my life in marketing and started a marketing business.
Right, okay, yeah.
I was literally like, you know, 700 grand biller running a £1.6 million contract team in recruitment and launched a marketing agency, and it was just like, why? Did that in March 2017. And now, 7 years later, we've got a branding agency where we manage the physical brands of recruitment agencies and their people, and we coach the employees as well. So I've worked with 5,000 recruiters in the last 3 years, 350 agencies. I host a podcast called The RAG, which stands for Recruitment Agency Growth, where I interview founders of recruitment firms every single week.
Done
300 episodes in 4 years, and we get about 30,000 plays a month on that. So, I basically run a business where we coach people globally how to build their brand on LinkedIn, and we also manage it for those that need that.
So you're an influencer.
I wouldn't go that far, but I am selling teeth whitening products in case anyone... No, no, I don't think so, but
okay.
Call me what you want.
Nice, cool. Well, look, to those that are listening, today we're going to be talking a bit about how to build a brand on LinkedIn.
Yep.
Sean's an expert at this, so we're going to be going into details about the ins and outs, what to do, what not to do, mm-hmm. why you do it, who's done it well, maybe, and go from there. But can you start by sharing your own journey of building a personal brand and how it contributed to your business success?
Yep. So, as I said, when I was in recruitment, I think my desk a traditional way, right? So it was getting on the phone, it was going out. I used to recruit in the Lloyds of London insurance market.
Yeah.
I spent my life in Leadenhall Market and all around the Gherkin, meeting people for beers, coffees, lunches. I was a contract recruiter. I was just playing musical chairs with people at £500 to £1,000 a day, and it was pretty cool.
But
never did a single bit of marketing in my life. Fast forward 5 years of doing that, when I was about to launch my own recruitment firm, I wanted to be different, and I genuinely believed that having tried to consume, well, basically, because I couldn't ask my own boss about starting a firm, I went out to find it online. And this was 2016. There wasn't a lot out there, but I think James Carn was probably the only guy who had any collateral online about it. What I did do is I started to listen to entrepreneurial stories online. I started to consume content from people like Gary Vaynerchuk and Stephen Bartlett and all these like hustle culture type characters.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was learning from people digitally, remotely, without having to spend any money or meet them or whatever.
So
my brainwave in 2016 was that my recruitment firm Hoxo, which is nicely tattooed on my wrist, was going to be built on brand, and I'd never done any of it. My business partner Emma thought I was mental. I said, look, I'm going to launch a podcast, I'm going to stand on camera, I'm going to talk to the global insurance market and be the thought leader for the industry. And I also knew I had a non-compete clause for 6 months, which there was zero in my contract that said I couldn't be seen and heard by my candidates
really
and clients.
Good point,
So had this brainwave. He genuinely thought I was mental, but was like, I think we've always had this relationship where I have the ideas and then he just like lets me burn myself out a bit. And then he helps me do whatever we agree on. And it got to the point where we were literally about to start the recruitment firm. And I found myself obsessed with this stuff. And I spoke to so many other recruitment owners I knew and people that were starting up, and everyone was like, yeah, in that community was like, I get it. Like, and I ended up going, well, I found this other guy in marketing who I brought in, and we started a digital agency. Additionally, it was going to be on the side of the recruitment firm, but we never actually launched a recruitment firm. We signed that many clients so fast.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short to your question, I realized in April 2017, if I was going to do, I'd never worked in marketing ever. Yeah. But I believed that LinkedIn was going to go like YouTube and Instagram and was going to become very social. So I was like, I've got to be the version of the industry that I think is going to happen. So I stood there. I remember my first video, I had this flat cap on. It was awful. April 2017, like introducing myself. And I had like 2,000 LinkedIn contacts. And then, you know, within 2 years, I was getting 1 million views a month on the platform.
Wow.
And I've literally posted pretty much every day since then on a working day. And everything's come from it. I mean, literally, I've got clients in every continent. I've got people listening to my show in every continent. And I'm widely recognized. But also, the bit that I think people don't always have is the sales skills, right?
Yeah,
so
agreed.
Personal brand without the sales skills is dangerous. You're like a headless chicken. Whereas I was trained to be able to do the work without it anyway.
Yeah.
So then adding that on top, I'm like, this is unbelievable. Because every time I speak to someone now, they know who I am. I've got gravitas. They want to talk to me. Like, they're interested in my... Even if they don't work with me, I get time with people. So Hoxo, my personal brand, basically built my business to the point where 80% of the revenue still comes from my brand. And it's been fundamental. You couldn't pay me to turn it off.
Because what's interesting there, you got me thinking, is that you've got X amount of years being successful in recruitment.
Mm.
Then you've built your brand.
Yeah.
For those starting out in recruitment, fresh to the scene, that are building a brand first, do you think there's a way to do it? Do you think you need the brand?
I think
you need the skill in recruiting, then the brand?
Well,
is there a...
I think if you think about the time I started in 2011, there was no personal branding. Like, LinkedIn didn't have the capability.
Yeah.
So there wasn't... I think now you should be teaching both from day one. Like, one without the other, I think, is not... You can't achieve what you could achieve.
Yeah.
If you're just good at branding and you can't sell, forget it. Go and get a job in marketing or something.
Yeah.
And if you're really good at recruitment, then you should be learning this.
Yeah.
And it's that combination of skill. And I don't train the recruitment stuff. I don't want to. I've got no interest in it. I believe my clients should be able to figure that bit out or work it out another way.
Yeah.
I'm just focused on one side of it. But it's a great point.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've definitely in my career seen times where, let's say, the millennials jump into recruitment and they're so excited. When they see someone like you on LinkedIn, they're like, I want to do the videos, the content. And it's like, but you still got to hit your target, you know? So it's quite hard to get that right.
But there's an element of, you've got to think about, if I'm 23.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually 24, but I'm not. But if I'm 23 right now.
Yeah.
I grew up in a different world than, I'm 37, right? So I used to knock on my mates' doors to find out if they were in on the school holidays. I've got an 8-year-old at home now. You ask him to knock on next door because his ball goes in the garden. He can't do it. He's frightened to death.
Yeah.
You know, I used to ring house numbers. I used to remember all my mates' house numbers, ring them up, be like, is John there? And the mum would be like, no, he's not. You know, his brother would answer and tell me to pardon, you can edit that out. But but the point is, we were kind of brought up in this kind of almost doing BD and breaking down barriers. Whereas now it's like my 10-year-old stepdaughter's on TikTok and she's got WhatsApp groups with friends and everything's instant messenger.
Yeah.
So then they're not coming in.
Yeah.
They're like, what, you want me to phone a company that doesn't know who we are? Whereas I think if you're building the brand up, yeah, you need to do a bit of that. But actually, they still pick up the phone, but it's further down the activity chain.
Yeah.
You know, they're picking up to people who know who they are. They convert.
Yeah.
They need to be good at sales. They need to be able to influence and convince and close. But I don't know if they all need that hardcore cold calling skill set. Because I don't think it's required in a lot of businesses.
No, I see your point. Obviously, here at RE, we've got a group of recruitment businesses hiring all the time.
Yeah.
What's some tips to anybody, whether they're new to their journey, a few years into their journey? Where do you start? What do you
with personal brand?
Yeah, where do you start? What do you look for? When? How do you know when to post? What's like tips and tricks that you'd suggest?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot we could go into. look, I think the fundamental mantra that I live by is don't try and be too creative, right? This isn't about becoming the funniest person online or sitting there for hours and trying to draw up scripts and stuff. Like, I don't believe, I can't do it, so I don't teach it. And some people do it really well and I'm not one of them. I believe that if you're fundamentally having conversations on the phone that have impact, whether it be advising someone, challenging someone, coaching someone, helping them with their problems, helping them overcome challenges. All of these conversations that you're currently having one-on-one, they are your LinkedIn content. Like, they are fundamentally the same conversations. Like, I put a post up today that, I don't know, it's got like 50,000 views on it, where I'm talking about connecting on LinkedIn and the strategy behind, do you add a message or do you not? I have that same conversation probably 5 times a week with clients, like, So I'm like, I'm just taking the same thing I'm already saying and I'm sticking it on there. And 50,000 people are going, that's interesting.
Okay.
So it's about, most people look at LinkedIn and think, what am I going to write about?
Yeah.
Whereas it should be the other way around. You look inward and say, what am I already saying?
That's brilliant advice. You know? So to take that and make that tangible for somebody that's listening to this podcast, they have a chat with a client on a Monday. On that call, they think, wow, this is, you know, a really good question. Post that on the Tuesday.
Yeah. So it's my best clients have got this phrase where it's like, that's a LinkedIn post. Yeah, so they look at each other and go, they get off the phone and go, you do realize that was a great LinkedIn post? And it's like, yeah. But genuinely, that's it. It's about taking the things that are already happening. Even like on a Friday, for example, let's say you have a really good week and you stand up in a group meeting and you say, what was your highlight of the week? And you're like, you know what? I didn't place anyone this week, but this candidate I've managed to help was actually being represented by another agency. They've contacted me. I've prepped them. They've got the job. I've not made any money out of it. But you know what? When they land, I guarantee they're going to give me their vacancies, right?
Yeah.
That's the sort of conversation. I mean, I'm making it up, but I've had them conversations. They're the kind of things that just, if you, again, tell a story about something you've done. Tell a story about someone you've helped. It's all story related.
It is, yeah.
And if you can do that 3 times a week minimum, consistently, I mean, it sounds really simple, but it actually is really simple.
It is. It's hard, isn't it? Like, I start to put them in my diary now. So if I think of an idea, I add it to my calendar on Wednesday at 11 o'clock and just like quickly post about it. Because I find my ideas come when I'm like doing my shopping.
Of course.
Or in the car.
Well, I've got a notepad. I literally use Apple Notes, right? Because it's laptop, my MacBook and my phone. And I'm always just typing ideas in it. And I'm walking the dog and I use voice activated typing or whatever. Where you press that little microphone on your phone. Because I'm walking the dog and I'm holding a poo bag and I'm holding this and I'm saying hello to people. But I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
And that's the spelling, punctuation and grammar is awful.
Yeah.
But I get bulk ideas out.
Yeah.
And then I can sit and refine it.
Yeah. That's a really good tip. Talking of, I suppose, like how you go about managing a brand, do you in your week say, I'm going to allocate this amount to pushing content out, then the rest of my job, or do you just quite literally go with the flow and post at certain times?
No, I'm very strategic with it. So like I put about 30 minutes a day into it every morning.
Okay.
And I teach my clients to do that Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Right.
But there's a very specific, you know, I go out there, I engage, I connect, I basically go out there and network first and then I put a post out. And I do the same thing every day. Because I do it for half an hour and then I come back the next day and all the stuff that happened as a result of what I did that day, I just follow up on, and then I put my next post out. And it's just it's a never ending, but I don't spend all day on it because I've got things to do.
I'm in
meetings, I've got employees, I've got clients.
Yeah.
If I didn't have any business, I'd spend a lot of time on it.
It can be quite distracting. It can be a bit of a place to procrastinate, I think, LinkedIn.
Exactly. If you've got no strategy, if you're literally aimlessly scrolling, it can be a nightmare. But if you know what you're doing, I know where I'm looking for what and what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So I see it as business development. I don't see it as I'm on LinkedIn for the crack. I'm genuinely trying to open up doors. And I can do much more there than I could if I sat there ringing companies I don't know. Like, I'm just like, it's not even comparable.
Well, let's get into that then. That's a good point. So what do you look for? You said you look for things.
Without giving away my whole business model to your listeners for free.
Then I was just more intrigued myself.
I basically look for people that know who I am.
Okay.
So if someone's liking a post of mine or you know, viewing my profile or things that, if it indicates they know who I am, then I'm on them. Because I'm like, you know, if I genuinely try to phone 10 recruitment firms that don't know who I am today and just say, hey, I'm Sean and I do this. And I mean, what am I going to get out of that?
Yeah.
Whereas if there's 10 people that have genuinely already shown that they know who I am and they've somewhat liked what I'm about, I'm on them.
Mm.
And there's always at least 10 a day. There's always people doing that. Like always. Because I'm always putting stuff out there.
Yeah.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I strike within 48 hours of someone engaging with me typically because I can guarantee they'll remember me.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, no, they probably liked 100 posts since then. So I do things time-bound, strategic, and I just follow the same method.
Okay. So going slightly off but into a different direction with this conversation. So let's say you've got a business that's been around for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Let's say there's been a certain direction that the business has gone in. It's challenging markets at the moment. If you've got a founding team that have had a certain way of doing things, and then you've got a bunch of young recruiters that are trying to introduce the idea of personal branding to their directors, and they've never seen and done it before, they're put off by the idea. How would you personally give advice to people that are trying to navigate that at the moment in their environments and their businesses?
You know, you've just nailed an absolute nightmare situation in the industry that exists.
Yeah.
I always say, like, literally ask your directors just to get on a call with me and let me talk to them. I'll be able to talk to them on a level, and I understand what they're doing and why they're doing what they're doing. But I do believe it's a top-down approach, not a bottom-up approach. I think the biggest challenge you've got is if someone at the top goes, oh yeah, that'll be great for the new people, let them do it.
Yeah.
And then times are tough, they'll be like, get off that.
Yeah.
Get straight back to what we know. So if you can, the best clients I work with internationally are always where the founder, leader, boss, top biller, whoever, is actually driving it. Because if they're embracing it, people below them are looking up going, well, that's what we do here. And also, the top of an agency typically have the most gravitas, the most stories, the most connections. Like they also externally drive the most results. So it's it is hard. I think you've got to sit. Ultimately, if you think building a personal brand is an additional task, it's just more work, you'll never do it. Like, and if your boss goes, well, this makes money and what you're telling us to do is this, you've got a real challenge. But then look at Netflix and Blockbuster. Look, there's so many examples of where companies go, no, I'm not changing because this is brilliant. And then within a year, that things completely shift. And I think we're in that point now with social, with digital, with LinkedIn, that if you genuinely think it's a job board, you're living in the dark ages.
Yeah, I think that's such a good like reference there when you talk about Blockbuster and Netflix, because immediately what came to mind is when you're a recruiter that's successful, or even if you're new to the industry and you're comparing businesses, something that people look for now is, are they posting?
Yeah.
Are they relatable? So even from an employer branding point of view, I know so many people my generation that would be turned off at the idea that that business isn't posting and active. And so it's like you look at the comparison.
I think if we look at your
really
portfolio as well of the startup businesses, I think even better, right? You've got, because you're coming out with, ideally, you always have a one or two people at the top who have got experience.
Yeah.
You're going to be building a team. You're going out into a market with established competition, unless you're like doing some kind of rocket science. You're going to be recruiting in a market where there's other players.
Yeah.
You need it more than anyone because you can I've got a client in Australia called Creative Natives who are, they're only 8 people. Couple of years old. I mean, they are literally the most well-known creative recruiter in Australia. They get business all over the country. They don't convince anyone to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's retained. They've done well over 7 figures purely inbound this year.
Yeah.
And it's because the main guy who started it was the first person who worked with me, and he's just embedded it. Everyone believes in it. But he's not dealing with like layers and layers of bureaucracy, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I think the smaller boutique agencies who are looking to grow, they're like my perfect client.
Right, okay.
Because we get them early and we work with them as they go.
Yeah.
We do work with people like Robert Walters, for example.
Yeah.
But guess what? We started working with one person.
That's typically,
one guy at Robert Walters who did really well, and it's spiraled into 750 people now that we're working with. So, go back to your question, it is really difficult. You kind of, again, be the change you want to see.
Yeah. Is it, so across our portfolio, right, let's say 30 businesses all across industry, finance, accounting, and you've got tech.
Yeah.
Do you notice that it performs better in some industries versus the other?
It depends what you define by better, right? I think if you're looking purely for LinkedIn engagement, marketing, sales, people, more of the kind of outgoing type people who live more on the platform whereas you got like finance and tax and audit, they're more natural voyeurs as people, like they don't comment as much, but they watch.
Mm, mm.
So yeah, there's definitely more, some sectors that are going to be more buoyant for engagement, but there's no set, as long as your candidates and have LinkedIn profiles and go there, there's no sector I'm yet to see that cannot perform with this. Like it's not an if, it's a when, because all you're doing is you're going, there's 3 steps. I'm connecting and building my network with the right people.
Yeah.
I'm then taking my life and active conversations and sharing them consistently, adding value, trying to help people, trying to add genuine support to people at scale. And then I'm following up with all the interaction, all the people around it, and trying to open doors. So how is that not going to work? Unless there's a market where everyone's switch LinkedIn off, which I've not heard of it. Like, it worked.
Yeah.
But the problem is most people, well, no, not most people, where it doesn't work is when people don't give it enough time, they don't give it enough effort.
Yeah.
They think, I'll post once and blow up the internet. It's like, that's not how it works.
So a really good segue into a question that came to mind then was, how long do you, and you're probably going to say there is no time, but how long do you think from start to getting a good presence and it working, do you think?
We've measured 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So six weeks of consistent effort, you should see around 25,000 views on LinkedIn, regardless of the size of your network. Like, you should be able to generate about 2,000 views a post. If you get 2,000 views a post and you can follow a methodology for 6 weeks, we normally see there's tangible business outcomes.
You talk about views. Are you just focused on videos? Or
No. So any post on LinkedIn as an impression amount.
Right, okay.
So if you're trying to get, you know, if you're getting 2,000 impressions a post and you're doing three a week, that's six a week. You're doing that for 6 weeks consistently. You're looking at between 25 and 35,000 eyeballs. You know, looking at different engagement metrics, but there's going to be enough people that engage and show interest from that you can follow up with that will show you that this is worthwhile.
Okay.
But if you don't stick for 6 weeks and you drop it, it's like the gym. If you go to the gym once a week for 6 weeks and look at yourself, you probably look exactly the same, but you go 3 weeks and you eat well and you're 80% of the time aware, you're probably going to look better and feel better and go, well, this is worthwhile.
Yeah.
It's the same principle.
Funny though, because when I got into branding, I actually noticed how addictive that feeling is as well when you write a good post.
Yeah.
And you just feel like I've smashed it. It is.
Dopamine, that's what it is.
It is. And it actually feeds your conversations. It does more than just brings in business. It creates.
But virality is actually dangerous. Like, the couple of posts I've had that have gone like over a million views, they are a bit distracting because you end up.
Yeah.
You end up with loads of random people engaging and you're constantly seeing red dots, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
You spend all day like reading it and you feel like you think you're a legend.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a bit lost. Whereas the algorithm in 2023 has massively changed and we're doing a lot of work on this now and helping our clients because LinkedIn has gone, the surge of personal Facebook related content, people were literally posting about their dog and getting like a hundred thousand views. And some of it was great. But people leant so far into it that they overdid it. LinkedIn have genuinely made a change where they're saying, no, value is what we want from the platform. So I'm not saying you're not going to see personal stuff and it won't get engagement, but LinkedIn are genuinely trying to promote like active value. And also, are you familiar with engagement pods where people like are part of a group?
No.
There's certain people on LinkedIn, you look at them, you think, how the hell did they get so much engagement? Like, what they write isn't even profound. They're not particularly entertaining. All it is they joined a group with 500 members and every day they post, they stick that post, a link in the group and everyone in that group has to like it. So they manufacture the engagement, but LinkedIn didn't really matter who liked it. It would just then propel it, right?
Right.
So I'm not going to name them, but there's certain people that look amazing on LinkedIn and it's all fake, right?
Right, okay.
So what LinkedIn have done now is they've recognized that they know the difference between someone who's gone on a scroll and seen something and liked it than someone who's clicked a link.
Wow.
So that's different. Plus, comments used to be because imagine you've got a like and comment on 500 people a day. People are just copying and pasting emojis or great post or love this or.
Who's got the time of day to do all
this? The funny thing was, I actually saw a post that was really like sad and it was like someone was crying and it was about how like they'd had to let go of like 50 people and all this stuff. And then, you might know that, but there's loads of people underneath it going, love this, love this, love this. And you think, well, it's so obvious how they've done it. So it's so lacking authenticity. So LinkedIn have said, basically, unless it's a thoughtful comment of some substantial words, it doesn't have any impact on the reach of the
of the
content. So they're making some really active moves at the minute.
Yeah.
And I'm really pleased with
that. I 100% agree. Yeah. I think it was needed, to be honest. There was a point last year, because I was in recruitment up until April this year, and was working with, you know, quite senior people and they were just getting fed up with it. They didn't use it. They just found it was becoming a bit of a social platform.
You know,
I
believe that it is a social platform and I think the human side, I think if you look at the life we live post-COVID, you know, everyone goes on Zoom and sees people's bedrooms and gardens and dogs and cats and I don't think that's going anywhere. So to think it's going to go back to being 100% business related is nonsense. And actually the number one reason people go to LinkedIn internationally is entertainment. It's to procrastinate. It's to have a break. It's not for jobs. It's not for information. It's to have a legitimate break, but look like you're working. That is the number one reason people go right. So LinkedIn knows this, and people need to go with it, not go against it. But it could go too far the other way.
Yeah.
So they're trying to pull it from becoming TikTok and becoming Instagram. And I think it's sensible.
Yeah, I agree. So how does your relationship with LinkedIn work then? So anyone that's listening to this that might want to reach out and find out a bit more about Hoxo, how can we make sure that you're on top of LinkedIn game and you know exactly how to work it?
I mean, I literally am just a practitioner.
Okay.
I'm not like, you know, I've got a decent relationship with LinkedIn. I do find it's funny though, because their account managers don't use LinkedIn often personally. So they're paid by LinkedIn to manage accounts, but they're not building their own brand. So I have my clients will say to me, by the way, LinkedIn have advised us this. And I'll go, all right, cool. Well, I'm trying it. It ain't working. So let's you try my thing and try their thing. And mine wins nearly every time.
Right.
To the point where I've had LinkedIn account managers message me going like, does that really work? They're asking me. So yeah, I've got a decent relationship with some people there. I've spoken at a couple of their conferences, but I don't work for LinkedIn. I just use the platform and I'm a practitioner. I go on it every day.
Yeah.
My team are on it every day. We research. So,
yeah.
You know, the algorithm stuff is, they've actually for the first time ever come out and said, this is what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was always like, it was just trial and error.
Yeah.
So we're now taking what they're saying and seeing if it's, and in real life, it is going down the route they've said.
So without giving away too much about your business, what are like the do's and don'ts if you were to start with fresh with the new business and helping the recruiters? What are the like tips and tricks of how to navigate personal branding?
I think it's the three things. It's remembering that this is not a vanity project. It's a business related. It's a business advantage. So you've got to remember, one is LinkedIn personal accounts get 24 times the reach of a company account.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can use company personal accounts well, you're going to blow up your reach of your company. So it's a business advantage. So see it that way and let people speak, let people be themselves.
Right.
Number two is authenticity matters, right? So if you're trying to then control what everyone in your team says, you're proofreading every word, you're making it all look the same and trying to make this corporate message, you're going to kill the authenticity of that person.
Right.
You wouldn't get someone on the phone and change how they speak English and make sure they use certain vocabulary.
Okay,
well, I hope you don't as a business. I mean, I wouldn't do that. So we hire people because of who they are and we train them and we give them processes.
Okay.
So let people, I think there's do's and don'ts. I wouldn't go down religion and politics and topics but let them be themselves. And then the final piece is when authenticity comes from real life experience and there's no shortcut for it. So.
Okay.
But even if you've been in recruitment 3 months, I'd hope you're on the phone every day.
Yeah.
So let's focus your brand on what you know at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And let's find the most valuable stuff you have got in that brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just keep focusing on the reality of your experience, what the business is doing, and make sure it's like, my kind of number one no-no is never write a post that you think will get engagement that you don't actually believe in.
I know people
who do it. They'll write something about mental health for engagement, but they're not really fussed. Like, I'm like, God, I hate it.
Yeah.
Stick to what will happen is you'll build a brand in the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people who are the most opinionated characters on LinkedIn. You meet them and they wouldn't say boo to a goose and you're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
But they've just worked with someone to write really aggressively and they think it's great, but it's not because you jump on Zoom with them and they're incredibly underwhelming or they're just totally different than who they are.
How important do you think it is to make sure that your content is relevant to the audience? And what I mean by that is you mentioned mental health there. It's obviously a huge topic.
Mm.
A lot of people post about it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, as you've mentioned, that it is important to them and others are probably doing it to get a bit of a following.
Yeah.
But if actually you're really trying to use this as an opportunity to win business, do you think it's important to post consistently about the clients or the industry that you're recruiting in?
Yeah, I think my final note, because I'm mindful of time for you guys as well, my final note is that this is the kind of structure of a conversation, right? You start a call and we have a bit of chit chat. How was your journey? Blah, 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 right? That's life. Every call, every meeting you have, you don't go in with the first question and deep into business. So a small percentage of your conversations will always be non-work related. So a small percentage of your content could be non-work related.
Advice,
But if more than 10 to 20% of your content is non-work related, I think there's a problem. Right. And that's the same on the phone. If someone is all day on the phone talking about their dogs and the cats and Man City and Man United, and they're not making money, you're like, this guy needs to start switching the conversation, yeah. right? So then 80% or 90%, you've got all this room to talk about business. And the two things in business, I think you do, is you add value and you can try and influence. You try and show credibility. Mm-hmm. So on LinkedIn, you should be adding value with no agenda, genuinely trying to help people. But you should also be trying to generate business, which yeah. is credibility, promoting jobs and messages and things like that. Yeah. But again, that is probably only 10, 20%. I'd say 70% of your content should be helping people, should be genuinely giving away information for free and trying to be someone that people trust.
Okay, that's really good advice.
What I see in the industry is people will do a really cool post about something and at the bottom they'll go, and then for more information about recruitment, right, and get in touch with me. Yeah. I'm like, you've just killed it. You've literally just ruined all the sentiment because people know now it's a sales driven. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just give away stuff and then at the bottom go like, was that useful? People are like, yeah, Sean, nice one.
It's an open question at the end of something. Yeah.
What do you think of that? Brilliant, appreciate it. Blah, 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 blah. But then you can have a post which is like, we're running this event. Would you like to come? If so, click on this link. Boom. You don't have to be any more than obvious than that. Yeah. Or we're promoting, I've got a job, I need to fill it. Can anyone in my network help? And this is the link and read it. That's okay too.
Yeah.
But too much of any of it is dangerous.
Yeah.
But if you're going to lean the majority, I would say it's just giving away.
Giving advice and adding value. No, that's
because I'd say 80% of recruiters' day is giving away stuff for free and not getting paid for it.
Yeah, well, yeah,
that's
another podcast.
I know.
Well, look, we can obviously talk about this for ages, but I'm going to start asking the question at the end of these because I think it's quite a good way just to get an idea of how your brain works.
Sure.
But if you could summarise what you think a successful entrepreneur in recruitment needs, what were those traits?
Traits.
In three words.
I mean, genuine vision. And like I say, you say ambition, but I think for a genuine reason. Like I think there needs to be an end goal or an end something you're working for. So I think ambition is obvious, but backed up by something. Yeah. Some people say, I want to achieve that. But when you actually dig it, there's no reason.
Yeah.
So you need a why. Consistency is the number one, I think, literally the number one. So it's whether it be go to the gym, whether it be being a great father, being a great husband, being a great recruiter, being a great boss. Everything comes back to consistency. Yeah. Do anything every now and again. And you
agreed.
The only thing you do that with is alcohol. That's my man. That's the only thing I'm not consistent with. So you got, have a why, be consistent. I think be curious.
Yeah, that's a fun. I love that word.
Yeah, curiosity. I think genuinely curiosity. I think one problem I see in our industry is people go straight to what they want.
Yeah.
It's all about what I want. Like they get on a call and it's all about what I want. Whereas actually, if you genuinely listen to people and you respond in the moment curiously to what they've said, you just get so much more back.
It's actually a lot harder to practice silence.
Of course. Yeah.
It's taken me years and years to sit in a room. But I've got, and then it's just sometimes you just have to, and it's even harder on Zoom.
Even
harder because you just don't know if there's a delay or not, but you don't want to butt in. Yeah. But curious.
I think I could name loads of things, but they're the three.
Yeah, no, I think they're really good ones. But I think that wraps everything up. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I really enjoyed it.
Thanks
we can carry on chatting about this after if you like. But yeah,
thank appreciate
you.
Sure.
Lovely to meet you.
You too.